Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Abba.
Hi, Caitlin. How are you doing today?
I'm sleepy. How are you?
I'm super sleepy too. The pressure is getting worse on us.
So we're recording on a different day than we usually do, and for some reason it has really thrown us off today, so here we are.
Yeah, we had it wasn't a technical issue because Caitlin's electronics were all down. Caitlin, what was going on in your side of the world? For like many days.
Some very extreme weather we were having. So like the wind was like 50 miles an hour with gusts of like 70 miles an hour. I'm pretty sure that's like hurricane wind. I've never seen anything like it. The sky was completely brown with like all the dust and dirt blowing.
Is that what that was? I was wondering what was causing the haze.
Yeah, the video I sent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was just dust and dirt in the air. And it was, so the power was, I didn't have power for quite a bit of time, and I was not prepared. Every time something like that happens, when I have, like, a prolonged power outage, I always think, like, I need to, like, have stuff ready for when this happens again.
Emergency lights and things.
Yes, and I never do. I mean, I had a headlamp, like, I had my camping stuff, but I'm always like, maybe I should, like, keep my phone charged, or maybe I should know where my lighters are so I can light the stove, or, you know, little things like that that I just, I think in my head I'm going to be prepared next time and I'm not.
Yeah.
It like wasn't a big deal, but.
Is the weather back to normal now?
Yeah, it was. I think we're still in a red flag warning, which is, I guess, just again, a severe wind warning, but it's nothing like it was.
Did anything get damaged? Like,
oh yeah, people's like roofs were flying off. Apparently, yeah, there were like warnings to like not drive because there was zero visibility on the roads.
So are you just at home?
Yeah, I wasn't gonna go out in there.
Actually worried about that because even the video of you and Millie standing outside when you showed me the sky, I was like, is your dog gonna get like swept away? How windy is it? Like, what's the situation on the ground? Should you be outside? You sounded really chill always, though.
I mean, I was a little nervous, but I was not gonna go out in that. And I mean, things were like flying through the air, and
what
we have. So every Wednesday in the town where I live, they do like a practice tornado
every
siren.
Wednesday.
Yeah, just to make, like, it's not a drill or anything. They just make sure that the siren works, I guess. So Millie howls like with it every Wednesday. But so I'm like, okay, there have to be like tornadoes here. So I was kind of thinking like, oh man, is this going to turn into a tornado? And like, I was like reading online, like with my phone that was dying, like, what are you supposed to do in your house when a tornado comes?
Oh, God. And, do you have a you don't have a basement?
No. There is a crawl space like where I live, but I'm not. I'd have to go outside to like get in it. They say like going in a bathtub and being able to hold on, like, I guess because the pipes can go pretty deep. That's like can be a good place to go. I don't know, that was kind of my plan, but it didn't get to that. The winds were just really wild and we didn't have power on and off for a couple of days, but everything's okay.
Talking about the bathtub has reminded me of a short story
from your book club.
Yeah, but I read it like a lot earlier. You should read it. It's like one of the best stories I've ever read. I'm literally finding it to send you the link right now if I can.
Is it about a tornado?
There's an extreme weather event happening, and it's from the perspective of, there's this scientist and he's an autistic scientist, single dad to a daughter, and it's so good. It's called Anyway, no, just go ahead. I'll find it.
Well, I guess here there are tornadoes. I don't know how often they actually happen, but I've never, I don't know if anywhere else that I've lived regularly experiences tornadoes. And my only exposure is that movie Twister. Do you remember that movie? Did you ever watch that?
I remember that. One? That sounds like is that 90s, early 2000s?
Yeah. I think it sounds familiar. I watched it when I was a kid, definitely. And I think they were in Oklahoma or Kansas, mm-hmm. maybe both, but they were tornado chasers. They were, I don't know if they were meteorologists, scientists, but they were, in the movie, they were trying to study tornadoes. So they would chase the tornado. They were obsessed with them too. And they were trying to get this machine that would carry these things up in the tornado to be able to read what was happening in the tornado and provide all this data that would help them understand them more. Anyway, it was such a wild movie and like terrifying. And so
I feel like the concept of tornadoes in childhood movies especially used to be so funny. Not funny, but like it was
a big
deal, like snow, right? At least snow. No, but like in Africa, it's not a thing. Like it's like almost like a sci-fi concept. Like when you see it, it's just like mm-hmm. when the wind is rotating in circles and things are it's so far removed from any of the things that were my reality. I feel like the first time that I saw that motion in America, I remember being like, even though I'd known that tornadoes were real by then, I was just like, wait, this is and the way the sky changes. And I remember there was like a lightning storm and a tornado in Texas. And I was just like, what? This is real. Like, that's, it's almost scary. Sci-fi-ish to into like my childhood. Extreme weather. So, yeah.
Is there no country in Africa that has tornadoes?
No.
Like,
I don't know why America has. Is it because you guys have all of the four seasons so exact, so it means there's like things changing environmentally a lot? I don't know. Extreme weather things. Earthquakes is the one we get, but
earthquakes are scary. I was reading when the wind was so bad. I was like, what causes like this extreme wind? And it's like really interesting, like the pressure changes. And how, I don't know, I'm not going to explain it well because I was just on Wikipedia, but yeah, like wind is so wild.
Yeah, wind is crazy. We don't have extreme, like hazy skies because of like dusty season is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a random African country that has it, but I don't think I'd ever heard of that prior.
How far are you in Nairobi from the equator?
The Nairobi is right on the equator, like okay. Nairobi, like
so it's like more, the weather would be like
temperate,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. like ultra, and so the whole of Kenya will be temperate. It'll get hot, so exactly, extreme heat is a thing. But even extreme, I experienced my most extreme heat in America. I've not experienced that level of heat here before.
In Texas?
Yeah, even in Michigan in the summer, man. That thing for extreme heat and humidity, but like Texas, I was talking to a friend and I was just talking about like by my last summer in Texas, I remember going on runs and that, I think that is the most body adaptability thing that I did in my, even more than like adapting to winter. Cause I remember the first time I got out from like Michigan to go to Texas, I was just like, I'm going to die. It's like so hot. I'm not going to make it away. Then by the time I was leaving, I'd like take the dog on a run at like 4 p.m. It was definitely a billion degrees out. I don't know how I was doing. In Denton, that's like Dallas. That's like the hottest place, I feel like, even.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is amazing how much you adapt to, different weather like that. It gets very, very hot where I live now. Oof. It gets very cold in the winter too, but it is hot and so dry in the summer, and it's just a very interesting like sensation, that really dry heat. Also, to everyone listening, if anyone heard the podcast last week, Abba uploaded it accidentally first with only her voice on it. She realized pretty quickly after, but if anyone heard that, it was just a recording of talking to herself.
Do you know, today I was going to tell you, but then the podcast started, but that countdown we do in the beginning really made me uncomfortable today, because that's what I heard when I played it. Like, I click on Spotify and I'm like, it's just me going, okay, three, two, and I was just like, oh, you remember in Arrested Development when Job used to be like, I've made a huge mistake. I was just like, oh God.
If anyone heard that, that was just a technical difficulty. But honestly, I was like, I was cry laughing about it for so long. Anyway, how are you, Abba? I feel like I'm just talking about the weather over here. What's happening your way?
I mean, that's how you're doing, though. I'm doing good. I'm super sleepy today. I went to bed late. I was telling Caitlin, I'm on like my fourth rewatch of Gossip Girl. Every 4 years or so, I watch Gossip Girl season 1 to 6. Because I watch the same 5 shows over and over again and introduce like a new show every few years to the... Yeah. So I went to bed at like 2 a.m. yesterday. Today, rather. I know. So I've gone out to dinner. I came back home by 11:30. I should have gone straight to bed, but it's so addicting. And why am I addicted to it? I know exactly what's happening.
There's something really comfortable, I think, of rewatching something where you know what's going to happen and you're already like invested in these storylines and characters. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've definitely rewatched stuff and I find it really comforting.
And I feel like, yeah, for sure. There's something, again, I feel like there's a trend. The fact that the only novels I've ever reread are Harry Potter. The shows that I rewatch are like Gilmore Girls, Gossip Girl. What's that thing? Downton. There's something about YA repeat stories that like soothes and makes me rest in a very specific way. So when I'm in search, I don't know. I realized first that they were all YA yesterday. I hadn't even noticed before.
Oh my gosh, Abba.
There's something about like, I don't know, because maybe it's like not too close to my reality, because it's like, it's teenagers. So it's like, it's interesting enough because I was a teenager and it interests me, but like, it's not something that will actively make me stressed. You see, like right now, if I'm watching things for about adults and like there's money issues, I don't know, a 17-year-old having money issues and a 30-year-old having money issues, one is going to make me actually stressed out, one is entertainment.
I totally get that. I was talking to a friend recently how I find like when I just want to veg and watch something and want to feel better, I really like watching like teen movies or teen dramas. And she was saying like, oh, I've actually like I read something about that. And it's because it's like it's very similar to what you're saying. Like it's like this real emotions, like these very real shared human experiences, but it like it's not it's like the early on, so for some reason it just like doesn't feel as intense, even though it is really.
Oh my god I literally thought of this just yesterday.
Yeah.
And even when you're saying teen movies, I'm like, which movies do I also rewatch every couple of years? It's always teen movies.
There's something so I don't know why I find such comfort in that, especially like teenage like rom-coms, which is so funny. So there's this really cute movie that I've watched a few times. It's called it's a newer teen movie. It's called Love, Simon. It's really cute. I think I watched it when I may have watched it when I was paying for Hulu. I don't know. That one's really cute. And then another one I really like is this one. I know is on Netflix. It's called To All the Boys I've Loved Before. And it's a, how you say
that? Oh my gosh. I went through a To All the Boys I've Loved Before season a couple of years ago.
Cute? I think
that was so I need to rewatch that. I forgot it.
Because there's a few movies now. I think there are like 3 of them.
I must not have seen the third one.
It's really
when they took the easy route and didn't make them a throughput. Was that in the movie 2? I was like, I'm done. There's only one real solution to this problem. Stop being a coward, Netflix. This is a 3-way relationship with 2 boyfriends.
Gosh,
do
if
it.
Only they would. That's like the dream. I don't know. I think I'd be fine in a throuple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried a throuple?
Yeah, kind of. And I think that I'd be fine. Yeah. But I don't want to be like the main person. I want to be like the, you know what I mean?
You want to be the third wheel. Stabilize this situation from the side.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, oh my gosh, the teen movies and shows. Yeah. There's some good ones.
Oh, we'll talk about throuples another time, and co-wives, which is throuples in a marriage that is African culture. I was actually talking about that this last weekend. And yeah, I'm just like, inherently, I don't know if I'd be able to do it, but like at the same time, it totally, like having, so in the co-wife situation, it's bringing in the co-wife that feels like appealing. It's just like someone else to deal with, like their job is to like handle the marriage and give you a break.
I would want to, yeah. No. I don't want to be a primary.
You'd want to be the co-wife?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be a primary partner. I just want to like kind of like pop in and out.
That's in a throuple, but in a co-wife, you're kind of in more, and then you're the younger person who has more energy, so you're probably dealing with the kids.
I don't know if I would be the younger person. We were talking about this at work today.
In that situation, like, I definitely want to be the main.
One of my coworkers was saying, like, she went out to the clubs in Albuquerque, and she was, like, she's really young, and she was saying, like, oh, yeah, like, I felt out of place, and then she, like, kind of looked at me, and she's like, you would have probably really felt out of place, and I was like, no, I wouldn't, like...
Wait, why?
I don't know, because I guess, like, you know, I guess where she went, everyone was, like, 18 or 19 years old, but I was like, I think...
Oh, no, she was saying, oh, everyone was younger than her. I thought you were saying she was pretty young.
She is and young, the people are but too even old. She was saying she felt old, and I was like, I don't really go out and, like, feel old. I don't know.
There's certain spaces. No, there's a club here called Alchemist that the last time I went there, I was like, no, I'm everyone's mom. I can't be here.
Okay, like, but you also get mistaken for like a 16-year-old still, so.
Not 16, like 21. You know, that's not like everyone was in high school. No, I feel like early 20s place, you can fit in. But I was even taking like my cousin, my 18-year-old cousin to the club for the first time. I should have known. If it's a place you selected to go, it's too young for me. But also maybe I'm also just hyper where I'm like, oh my gosh, someone needs to take care of the children. Do they look okay? No, I don't want to be in that space. But speaking of...
Are we going to hop into our topic of the day?
Let's hop into our topic.
We're kind of meandering around, what are we talking about? Around the podcast today because we're so sleepy. Today we're going to talk about our relationship with money.
So sleepy, and you should see our faces.
I know, but you shouldn't actually. We're going to talk about money. Our relationship with money, debt, everything that's like really weighing on us right now.
Things that are not in the teen movies and teen shows that I watch, which is why they're great. The real life thing that's, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah. What do we want to talk about money? I guess, yes, our relationship with money and the different components of it. I think, yeah, for me, the older I grow, my relationship with money has like adjusted a lot over the years and the tension of the sourcing of them. I feel like when I was significantly younger, like money was the anthem. I needed to like do a degree where I felt like figuring out financial security has been a fear. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I'm sure it's like also childhood things for like feeling financially insecure in certain seasons and wanting to be sure that I can fix that. But then as I grew older, like let's say into my mid to late 20s, my relationship with earning money and capitalism shifted again, where it's like, I'm still really interested in. I think for me, the interesting shift for like the relationship with capitalism and like which kind of work are you actually willing to do? How much longer? Now into our 30s, where it's just like, okay, you've been part of the grind for over a decade now. Do you like, you know, liking work, but also like wanting to take a break from making money? And then like, yeah, the relationship with debt shifting. I also remember like being very aware that in America, in my American time, like people were so comfortable with debt and I wasn't. And then growing older and realizing again, to be able to access certain investments, both let's say academic or financial, you have to get comfortable with debt and like owning a business, yada, yada.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what would you say your relationship, I guess it's so broad, but like, yeah, what's your money vibe right now on this sleepy Tuesday night?
Oh, I mean, right now I feel just stress about money. You know, I don't know, like it's just so weird to think that, I don't know, I don't feel like I really know anyone who's like ever going to be at a place where they're actually financially secure. And, you know, like I was recently talking to a friend, like, and she was like, we were both saying like, yeah, like it's like, at least in our lines of work, like, are we ever going to be able to like retire? Is that a thing? Or is it like, you know, if one emergency comes up, then that's kind of it, you know, like we don't really, I don't know. I just don't know how people, I like really want to feel more financially secure, but it just seems like unattainable. And I'm saying that from like such a position of privilege too. You know, I like am living in a place where like the cost of living is very low. I have a good job. Like I have a ton of debt, but like that's, you know, other than that, I'm like doing okay. You know, I have a car that's paid off. I don't have like a ton of other things, and I'm not paying for kids or anything like that. But like, I still feel like I'm not someone who's very spendy. I've always been someone who doesn't spend a lot, but I still like, even living quote unquote like modestly, I don't feel like I have money put away. You know what I mean? And I just like have those thoughts have been kind of overwhelming lately, because like a big reason that I moved here was like, oh, I'm going to live somewhere that's so much more affordable, and I'm going to be able to like finally get a little more financially stable and put some money aside or something. And like, it's definitely not happened. You know, it's like not what I thought was going to happen.
Can I ask why isn't it happening? Is it like the habits around being able to do it? Because if you're like a modest spender and you're making more and spending
less. No, I guess.
Is it like you're paying your debts more aggressively right now or something?
No, I guess I just thought I would be able to actually save more money. You know, like I think that I thought just because the cost of living was so much lower, like I kind of like inflated my own like, not pay, but like kind of what I thought really like what my take home pay would be and what I could actually put aside, you know. But really it's like after bills are paid and like all the necessities, even a month where I'm like, you know, like I don't live lavishly, and there's really not a ton of things to spend money on where I live too. Like there's not places to go out all the time and spend money. It's like, man, you know, there's still, I just thought there'd be more money to go around, but it's like, oh no, like it's even so, like that goes fast, you know, just like bills and what else. And so I'm always like wondering too, like, okay, in some kind of like emergency, like I'd be in the same position, like that my friend was saying, like, I don't know that I'd have money to, like one emergency would like set you out. Which is what's like so scary and makes, like, at least in the US, and I'd love to hear like your perspective, but it's just like you can never be ahead.
For you to get ahead, you have to have like so much.
Yeah.
Like, for you to be able to put anything else, you have to like, you need to be in the 0.001% type thing. Yeah. I think money has always been, for me, honestly, since I was younger, like money has always been like a stressor for me, like that worry about. And I think it's also from, so when I was, let's say right at the end of even high school, when my mom had a big medical emergency, like she had like stage 4 cancer and had to go to treatment for like over a year type thing. But like it happened right when their medical... And I always remember this, like, which I'm, and even though I'm still really bad about like medical insurance, if it's like not being covered by my employer, because my dad was self-employed at that, has been for a while and was at the time, right? And I remember like the month before, I remember like on two occasions, my mom being like, have you like renewed the medical, like it was an admin thing that had fallen off the cracks. And anyway, by the time she got sick, it hadn't been done in those couple of weeks. And so of course it had to be handled out of pocket. But just seeing how you can be okay to being everything is complete. When it's like, I guess millions and millions, it's like, I guess when you're crossing like hundreds of thousands in treatment mm-hmm. out of pocket, it's just like, okay, how much money do you have aside to be able to handle that? And so I've always had like a nervousness. I think I've always been like, even pre that time, I'm like a saver. Just like seeing mm-hmm. big financial fluctuations in childhood, I always like saved. So even now, I would say I do have a little money put aside. Even when I made significantly less, and I think it's like, you know, when I lived in my parents' house, then it's like, okay, I'm not paying rent. Mm-hmm. The amount of money that would go into rent, let me make sure I'm saving it. And then there have been things that happened, right? Like I went to grad mm-hmm. school, and then you have to take it out and take some more debt and da 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 da. And then it's like I lost work and we were in a pandemic and I wasn't really proper working for like a year. Built love a lot. Like there's been, it's not like huge emergencies, but big money things have come. So like having to go, mm-hmm. you know, just seeing like, even when you put it aside, it's also not like there's going to be one emergency and this money is going, it's going to save you from probably the medical and then there's going to be something else. And how long does it take to like replenish the coffers? And so I think this has just crossed my mind right now, but I'm like, I feel like we need to bring like a financial advisor on the show. I'm going to find one. I'll like look into one. I think that would be really great for someone also to like just guide the process. I'm a finance major, so I should be able to handle money better. But I think
I've always been what I considered like good with money. Like I've always been a saver and I like squirrel money away. And I don't know. But even so, it's like, okay, but then there are like bigger things, you know, now like I have, like one of my friends is always talking about like investing. Like that's not something I'm like
Y'all should have seen the face that Caitlin made us.
I know. It's just not something like I don't know. I know that's like a part of like being in like financially savvy in the world. And it's just like not something that I have any interest in. But I feel like in order to, I don't know, I think here at least that's what's kind of posed is like, oh, if you're stable and if you're going to set yourself up to like at some point be comfortable, you have to do these things. Mm-hmm. You have to invest. And it just, I don't know, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, I hear it too. Like, cause, okay, so you know that you're saying you don't know if you'd get to retire. I have to retire. Mm-hmm. I have to retire. And I guess for retirement for me, maybe doesn't even necessarily mean I'm not working at all, but I want to work only on things I'm interested in and be able to take like sabbaticals every year or even for a full year. Sometimes I need to be able to take like an extended break. And there's something that definitely shifted like getting into my 30s where it was just like, okay, yes, you're securing being able to like have a long career pathway. I think the tricky thing with Kenya as well, like, employment can't be like your main backup. You're like, it's such a trick. Unemployment is so high and eventually you're going to be priced out of the market, or like as when you reach a certain state, it feels like there's also like a runway until you're 45, unless you now make it to like being the very, very top and you're kind of moving things by yourself, right? It's like you need to, and you need to like have the, so I know a lot of people also, I know a lot of families and I would even say where it's like there was a lot of wealth and then into your 50s, you like lose all of the wealth. Like you have to set, and that's like a really common story. I think, you know, in our parents' generation, of course, it's the way they understood and navigated investments is also different. The pressure of keeping up with the Joneses was different. The number of kids people had, like, let's say for us, we have 6 kids. Bruh, when you're sending 6 kids to university... how that plays out, you know, like any small emergency in 5 months can totally dig a hole, right? And access to credit and how you're managing credit is a bit different for that generation. So I feel like I've been having this feeling where it's just like, okay, even like owning a home, it's like, okay, I need like to be like, are there low cost investment options in owning a house where it's like worst case scenario, I need to have like a house that is my house, even if it's not giving me like any like proper rent deals, but it's like if everything was to fall apart, I have to have somewhere that I can live in for free. What other thing, you know, like what you're saying about like a car, but like investments, you know, like I've been thinking a lot more about, which I need to check on as something. There's things called chamas in Kenya, like Kenyan culture as well, which is essentially, it's like a savings group or like a savings and investment groups. Like you, so you come with like a couple of friends or like relatives and pooling money together to be able to like go a little bit further.
That's cool.
So I'm a big believer.
Yeah, so do you have like do you have one of those with people?
Yes, I love my chama.
How do you? Okay, so that's cool. How do you like decide who you're gonna go in? Like, is this like based on like just people you're close with, or are you like thinking strategically? Like, oh, who's gonna mess this up?
Both. Because people you're close to, it's just like who do you do business with, right? It's not just like who you're closest to. I feel like the hardest thing in being able to set that up, and even, you know, I would say, because there's people who do like intense versions of that. And it's like cool, where it's like you're putting aside like maybe even like 30% of your monthly salary into this thing, and you're like aggressively investing together as a group. But I feel like for me, it was like the integrity, the trust and integrity, whatever, the muscle, and which people can you like be able to be sure that nothing, like I know nothing will ever pop off. Like it doesn't even matter, even if the friendship ends, and even if there's been the love isn't what will make sure that there's integrity and trust. The baseline is that, right?
Oh my gosh.
So how many people can you bring into such a circle,
like,
right?
Do you have like multiple of these going on, or do you just have one? You don't have to share all your secrets either. I'm just asking. I think this is cool.
I did not mind. So we're like seven of us. You pay a monthly fee. It's also like a base where, like, you know, you put money together. So also if you need like quick debt that you pay back with interest, there's like a source
are
of
you
that.
So, if you, are so they that like you, long-term investments? Like, are you not able to take money out for like a really, like, say like X amount of years or something?
So we're probably not the most official. Well, we are. I feel like there's way more official chamas who are doing significantly less, to be fair. But you can't take so the money that we put in, you don't get out. It's like this is, you're pulling this purely into investing. So it's like whether it's investing in real estate, whether it's like financial instruments, whether you're giving out debt that's building the pool. So I don't, if we ever needed to liquidate, then it would just be like, okay, this value split equally.
Gotcha.
Like the way we make it, it's like everyone is on the same base. Everyone has an equal vote. But like, how do you just increase the pot that if you ever needed to liquidate, you have access to that? Or like, does this enable you to? So I feel like even buying a house, I feel like the culture of mortgages and like figuring out that system in Kenya is really tricky. So it's like this is a base of people who you can like practice that with, like understand how to navigate it, who are the developers who you probably trust.
So it's more like community-based effort into like doing these big things.
Exactly. You want to join our
team? I do. I mean, that sounds so nice, because one thing with anything financial with me, like it's, I mean, in the US, I feel like the whole culture of it is just so cutthroat. And I mean, it's, you know, all based on capitalism and super individualistic. And I feel like it's really isolating to even, like, it's still taboo to talk about money, right? Which I hate, because I think we would all be better off if we were able to more openly like talk about money. And
it's worse in Kenya. People don't talk about even this.
Really?
I remember when I came back, no one says their salary. Yeah,
I mean, I guess that's definitely, I think it's better, like with my friends, like we'll talk about salaries, especially with like my coworkers and stuff, because it's like, that's so important to know like what we're all.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of the finance stuff, because it's like this rat race, like let's get ahead mentality. A lot of it's like, I think more so now with social media, and there's a lot of like awesome people on the internet who are like sharing their wealth of knowledge and do this, and like, here's a trick to do this. But I like before that, I think it can be like a very isolating topic, and where do you even start, and how can you do this thing that we all feel like pressured that we have to do to someday be stable but there's like no, mm-hmm. it's not like we're taught this anywhere. It's all like has to be, you know.
Exactly. And I was like, how am I a finance major? Like, I could do for you, like, well, I could, like, mm-hmm. derivatives and, like, understanding how to short, but, like, I can't invest in financial instruments from the knowledge that I learned in my mm-hmm. undergrad degree, right? It's, like, stuff I had to pick up along the way. But that's been something that's also, my, like, what you're saying, the isolating thing, I feel like for me, in regards to, like, having a life partner, I feel like that's been something that it feels like if you're, because it's also, like, how much... Unless I'm making so much, like, how much money are you going to make to be able to, like, set aside mm-hmm. enough to do something that's big enough? And it's just, like, it feels like you need a partner, mm-hmm. whether it's your, like, someone to, if you can combine, right. it feels easier. And so I feel like figuring out and navigating that. And even, let's say, even in Achama, you can tell it's different for, like, people who are married, mm-hmm. the way you're handling your finances, the opportunities that are, and... Of course, then it comes itself, and then there's the cost of children, right? Yeah. But I feel like net, if there could be systems, more systems where it's like financial partners who are not necessarily your spouse, and you're yeah. like almost like building a business together, and like yeah. So I feel that's been something.
That's yeah. like great. Mm-hmm. It sounds very, very like community based and less like you're on your own. See ya.
There's still a lot of that for sure, because that's only like one part of what you invest mm-hmm. in, right? But yeah, I feel I'm just like, I want to be, and also what does it mean to not, I feel like it's something that I've been trying to calculate, and the rate of inflation is also so mm-hmm. high. So I'm like, I don't even know what the round number would be, but it's just like, what is my minimum when I'm not feeling like completely under pressure, I can still, then there's, you know, like black tax, mm-hmm. you having to support your parents, right? How much money do I need a month to be able to like comfortably set aside some, if you need a house, is it like you need to have this coming in rent, or you need to like purchase a house, and how long will it take mm-hmm. to pay for it, right?
So what's like the expectation of taking care of your parents? Like, is it shared between your siblings? Like, how is it?
It's shared, and it's changed. Like, there's different seasons. So there's seasons where there's like a lot more mm-hmm. pressure for that. And it also depends on where they are financially and like what other, you know, is there medical things mm-hmm. happening? Are there, and it's not even necessarily them, like their parents maybe, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's say when my grandma was sick, really sick for many years, and it's like raking up so many, like so much yeah. money annually, then it's like you're supporting with that. So it varies. This year is not a high pressure year, other than for like when my mom is traveling and you need to send her like shopping. But like it changes. There's certain years when that is the big stress in my life, is like, how am I going to be able to like get the amount mm-hmm. of money that I need to give every month to like family? So it's like, that's the other thing where it's that I just wonder, like, when it's almost like if you don't figure out how to have some form of like passive income, what happens if you, I guess, I don't know if in America, worst case, you'll be able to get some low wage job that you can eat mm-hmm. and pay rent off of no matter what.
Well,
in Kenya, if it reaches a certain level, you can get to, you have mm-hmm. nothing, right? And so it's just like, it's not an option to presume you'll always have the backup of like work.
Yeah.
But of course, again, talking from a place of privilege, like you said, I've worked with like a lot of non-Kenyan organizations. My network exceeds outside of here a mm-hmm. lot, both in like grad school, but it's just like, but still, it just feels like, I feel like that's the biggest pressure that I have. Is most of your debt for school debt?
Yeah. And because my car, I finally paid off my car just to finish paying it off recently. Wop. So that was exciting. So school, and then, I have a mortgage now. I bought a house in New Mexico. So,
the house mm-hmm. you live in?
Yeah.
Yay!
So, relatively extremely affordable. This is probably the only state in the world, only town in the world, probably in the US right now that I could have, bought a house, and it's awesome. It's like an awesome place. I'm so like,
and you have a big compound.
I'm super fortunate to have been able to do this. But yeah, so I have those loans too. But I mean, I have $150,000 of law school loans. I will tell you that my mortgage, like my house loan, is so much less than that. So that will tell you
much less for that big ass house.
Yes, yeah, it's 1300 square feet, so it's a big house. And yeah, my law school loans way exceed the house. Well, the cost of the house.
So when you say you feel like you can't get to, I mean, a big medical emergency, I mean, there's certain things where it's like, okay, if something requires $300,000, it's just like there's certain things that you can't ever create enough of a safety for. It's just like there's certain emergencies that are going to be beyond an emergency you can prep for, right? But if you're servicing a mortgage, and of course, school debt, but like that school debt, it gives you access to like a very long-term law career. Why do you feel like you can't get to a point where you'd ever be able to like stop?
Well, I think it's...
especially if you don't have kids.
I think it's just still, again, and like I... that's why I'm like, I just don't get... I mean, with once my bills are done, there's just like not really. So I'll preface this by saying the type of law that I do is like the lowest paying type of law.
It's a saving the world
so
type of law.
It's, but I still feel like very fortunate with what I make. It's definitely the highest paying job that I've ever had. And, it's still just, I don't know. I think it's just, man, like after bills get paid, there's just not a lot left. Like I've been reading these like finance articles that say like how much you should put aside, you know, every month into savings. And I'm not anywhere near that. And maybe it's also because I'm like settling still. I've had like a lot of...
yeah, I was like, there's different seasons as well. There's like seasons where you'll save more, because there's probably been times when if this is the most you've made, but you saved in the past, you know, like,
yeah,
and you're living in a cheaper city, but like you can't save right now. Like, yeah. I'm also going through a period where like outside of the little bit that I give the chama, which doesn't count as, like, if I was saving that amount, it's nothing, right? Because you're pooling it can do a little bit more. But I've not actively saved, like, every month in... I feel like since I moved to this house. And it's also because, again, the financial decisions that I made then, I'd taken up some debt that I'm clearing out. I'm always just like, I know I don't have... I'm not going to save. And I knew that even from last year, I was like, I knew I'm not going to be able to save until end of Q2 2023. Because that's the way the math was laid out. It's just like, it's... when the bills come and all the other duties that you have, it clears out right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
if you leave a little bit, it's just for entertainment.
It's weird.
Right?
And I guess it's just like that settling time too. But it's funny because it's like I have lived, like I've laid very low. Since like I haven't been on a plane or bought a plane ticket in like 3.5 years now, and I haven't really traveled. Like I've only driven places to visit friends or you know, I've been laying very low, and so I feel like I'm not being spendy, but it's like where does money go now? Like, and I talk to my coworkers a lot who have kids, and with all the inflation right now, and I like, it's just like, I don't know how people are doing it. Again, I am speaking from like such a privileged position, and I'm only caring for myself, and I'm not and I don't know how people do it. I don't, you know. So props to anyone.
And just speaking the kid thing though, like I feel like recently, another reason why. So even why I'm always like, I'm not drawn enough to motherhood to try and like do it by myself, because I'm just like, the financial implication of doing so just doesn't, like, I feel like it has to be a deep desire of your spirit for you to get yourself in that kind of situation. And I wouldn't intentionally opt into like, I don't know, man. I feel like, because even for me now, like children, especially recently, like in the past few years, it just feels like mostly a financial decision. Like, if I had $1 million, I would probably have a child, you know? Like,
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I think having, for so many people, money would, like, solve their problems. I hate when people act like it wouldn't, because it's like, no, you really don't understand how the world works then, because it would. So
I love therapists who are always like, most of the problems, it's just like a money thing, which exacerbates. So even like this thing for the underlying money stress, and you're worrying about debt, you're worrying about, like, never being able to, it's like creates a state of, then that's how you're moving the world, how I approach work. And I feel like I would really like to honestly heal my relationship with anxiety around money, because I feel like it affects how I think about work, my career. When I'm having like deep belly anxiety, it's probably, yes, there's other things, but like, I feel like any problem that I have, 30% of it is related to money.
I know, and it's so funny because it is like all consuming for us. I feel like that is most, even people who are like, the thing is like, I'm okay. Like, I really don't have legitimate, you know what I mean? At this point in my life, like, I am stable. You know what I mean? Like, yes, if a catastrophe hit, there would be issues, but like, I'm okay, but it's still like this overbearing anxiety inducing.
You live the same way as if you're on fight and flight about it, like other times.
We're all just like programmed to be so, I mean, it consumed by it all the time. So yeah, I'm working on my relationship with money.
We should, my friend who did an ayahuasca trip was telling me about it yesterday night, and like something that definitely crossed, I was just like, I need to go to the Amazon forest for 2 weeks to like, why is this only money can make me well? What went wrong? What broke? And what can I change so that I can actually live a full life, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I also, I wouldn't, you know, like though you're saying, you've been like keeping your spend really low, which is really great. I go through seasons where it's like, I'm just in my house. I have food. I've paid for everything in the house. I work from home. I don't need to leave. But bro, I also go through.
Like, we, you know.
I like traveling.
Yeah, and like there, to me, I think we've talked about this before. There's so much benefit in going out and just being with people. I mean, most things I do with people, I think, are free. Like, I mostly go on walks with friends, or, you know, like, I obviously love going out to eat and like having drinks and stuff. But, you know, like, it's just, that's good for us too. Like, and it's, I think it's not worth it to like, I've definitely gone through phases where I like beat myself up about spending money, or I would like really be like, no, I can't go out, I can't do this, and really hurt my like that social side of myself because I didn't allow myself because I made it all about money and like so many parts of my life, and I don't want to do that either, you know? It's like a double-edged sword.
I hear that. Yeah. And also just like, I feel like my relationship is also like life and death. I'm just like, I feel like at the core of it, I'm just like, I'm not willing to like put myself on this tight leash for the next 20 years. What if I die in 20 years? Like, as soon as I have to enjoy it.
I definitely go through those days where I'm like, money's not real. I'm going to do whatever I want because I could die in 10 minutes. Like, who cares? So I don't know. The pendulum of... Pendulum, is that the word? The swinging thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of our money emotions. But okay, I guess we rambled on way more than we said we were going to, but lots of thoughts about money.
We definitely
need to get some financial
savvy
people on here who can
put someone message us if you like know money things.
Yeah. I know. One of my good friends here is always like telling me about all these good like money hacks.
Caitlin, listen to the people who know, man. Like, I feel like that's one thing. And even when I'm telling you, like, a finance part, it's just like, it would be really great if I had someone who was, like, even better at money things. And it's just like, combine forces. I can do my research. Yeah. I already know how to navigate this. Just do what they say, man.
Yeah.
All of the money hacks. I know in America, like, flipping houses is a thing.
I don't think, like, anyone can actually do that unless somehow you have so much money.
Really?
I mean, the housing market is wild here right now. So, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll bring a financial advisor, I think, and we'll do that soon. Let's both check within our networks. Yeah. I think, yeah, we should talk about, like, money in a guided way very soon. I feel like money and figuring out money is a big wellness practice. Mm-hmm.
Getting a decent relationship with money, because obviously it's unavoidable. We can't avoid it.
For only the rest of our lives.
Well, on that note, I'm going to go to
bed. I hope you have a good money night and money week.
I did find Caitlin, $5 on the ground at the park the other day. I did. It was so exciting, honestly. And I was like going to go spend it right away. And then I was like, what should I use this for? So
let me not spend it all in one place.
I mean, finding money is so exciting. Let me tell you, the endorphin rush that I got when I saw it. And it wasn't a $1 bill. It was a $5 bill. Do you look left and right before you pick it? So, what?
Do you look around you before you pick it?
No, there's no one around. It was, like, windy. And, like, I just, I grabbed it. I was so excited. So, yeah. Well, okay. Well, have a good Wednesday.
Thank you. Let me go get started on the grind. And you have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.